You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
Welcome back. I'm very pleased to say we're joined by Justin Johnson, one of the bright young lights at the Heritage Foundation, a man with considerable experience on Capitol Hill as a deputy chief of staff and military legislative assistant for good man and a friend of this program, Representative Doug Lamborn of Colorado. These days, Justin is a senior policy analyst for defense budgeting policy at the Heritage Foundation's Allison Center. Justin, good to have you back. Thanks so much for taking a few minutes with us.
Thanks for having me, Frank.
You have been, of course, following closely, and not enough of us are doing it, the testimony that's being provided by the senior leadership of the United States military as it presents its budget to the Congress. Give us a flavor, Justin, of what those who are responsible for the military of this country are saying about its current condition.
Frank, I think it's a very important question, and as you said, not enough people are hearing what some of our senior military leaders are telling Congress. And what they're saying is that the military today is in a very tough spot. Everyone in uniform often usually has this approach of, you know, we're going to get the job done no matter what. Unfortunately, that sometimes means they take more risk than they should. What we're hearing from senior generals and admirals is things like, you know, we would, if there's a serious conflict, we're still going to go fight, but we're not prepared for that fight. So that means either they'll be late to the fight, or men and women in uniform will be unprepared, untrained, and more at risk for injury and death. The commandant of the Marine Corps has said these things. The chief of staff of the Army has said these things. The chief of the Navy, even the secretary of the Air Force recently said, it's being unprepared for conflict is one of the surest ways to get into conflict, and if you're not prepared, the conflict is going to take longer, and more people are going to lose their lives. Those are pretty serious statements.
We're visiting with Justin Johnson, a senior policy analyst for defense budgeting policy at the Allison Center of the Heritage Foundation. And Justin, you've spent a lot of time on Capitol Hill, as I say, and your insights into what's going on there in response to the very, very ominous warnings being now given by the senior leadership across the military, it sounds like, it should, I'm hoping, translate into a concerted effort to redress this problem in the Congress. Is that what we're seeing so far?
Well, unfortunately, so far the news is mixed. I think there are folks on Capitol Hill who are paying attention to this, in both parties, in both the House and the Senate. Unfortunately, as they're working through the budget process for this next fiscal year, at the moment, they're kind of stuck. They haven't found a way to increase defense $1 yet, and they're kind of stuck over whether to go a more conservative route, more liberal route, what to do with taxes and entitlement, overall spending. Bottom line, unfortunately, though, is that neither House nor Senate has put out a budget that can pass that increases defense. There's some movement in the House, attempts to find a way to do this, but so far the proposal that's on the table basically kicks the can down the road and potentially uses warfighting money for operations in Iraq and Afghanistan as kind of a temporary cover. I think that's just asking for trouble.
Give us just a refresher on how much the military's budget has been decreased in the past decade or so, Justin. This sort of parsimony at the moment is all the more troubling against that backdrop, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Since 2011, the defense budget, the national defense budget, has been cut by about 25% in real inflation-adjusted dollars. 25%, is a significant chunk of any budget. And in this case, what that has led to is the Army reducing its size, firing soldiers, a Navy fleet that continues to shrink, Air Force, recently the Air Force leaders testified that only half of their fighters are ready for combat, Marines that are smaller, across the board, basically every chunk of the military is smaller today than it was on 9/11, and facing serious readiness gaps. They're not training, they're not maintaining well enough. So it's a very tough spot, and unfortunately, so far at least, Congress is not taking that seriously enough, and they're not finding a way to budget for this appropriately.
Justin, as we've talked about in the past, you were one of the architects of what's called the Blueprint for Balance that the Heritage Foundation has published. You've also been deeply involved in the Index of Military Strength, which really documents the shortfalls that you've been discussing. How far out of whack are we in terms of the blueprint that you at the Heritage Foundation believe is needed in light of the shortfalls in military strength and the threats that are now emerging around the world?
Well, in our proposal for 2017, this next budget, we propose a defense budget of $600 billion. That's about $50 billion more than President Obama proposed, and $50 billion more than where Congress seems to be going right now. That's a big number, but what that would that's really only a start. If you look at historically, you look back to the Reagan budget or even the Carter budget on defense, as a percentage of GDP, they were $100, $200 billion more than we're spending today. So yes, we want to spend more, but we also want to do it in a fiscally responsible manner. We say, programs, like the catfish inspection program, the USDA, other things like that, there are plenty of places we can find waste on non-defense side of the ledger to cut so that we can prioritize for the federal government what the federal government needs to focus on, which is our security.
Let's talk about a couple of particulars here and again, contrast what is being done, what it seems likely Congress is going to do, and what you think needs to be done, Justin. Let's start with those conventional forces. You've indicated that really across the board, they're smaller than they need to be. How much urgency should we assign to improving readiness? And to what extent must modernization also be, increased considerably?
I think the answer, unfortunately, is all of the above, which is part of why we have to invest some serious dollars here. But, you look at the Army, for example, smallest army since World War II. We need to both increase the size of the Army and increase the readiness. We also need to modernize. They're still driving tanks that are decades old, things like that. Same sort of story.
And roughly, what would the shortfall be in terms of the need there just for the Army?
Well, just to stop the cuts in the Army would probably be $4 or $5 billion. They're supposed to cut another 15,000 soldiers from the Army next year. To stop that, it would be $4 to $5 billion. We're looking at even larger gaps in the Navy to get the Navy fleet to where it needs to be. You're probably talking $5 to $10 billion a year more just for building new ships. Plus, we need to spend more on training and operating these guys.
We don't have time to go through all of the services but in detail, but I think it's sufficient to say it's the same across the board. Serious numerical shortfalls, serious investment shortfalls. How about missile defense? This is an area that, of course, the Heritage Foundation has been very actively supporting for a long time, as have we. But what's your sense of the shortfall there?
It's at least a couple billion dollars. So President Obama significantly cut the missile defense budget when he came into office, and it's never been restored to where it should be. And as you and your listeners well know, we're facing some pretty serious missile threats today, particularly from North Korea with their potentially miniaturized nuclear weapon. Nuclear weapons are another area where it's a little bit better story there. They actually have slowly increased funding, but our nuclear arsenal is decades old and needs to be restored, needs to be prioritized within the defense budget.
Is there any indication, very quickly, Justin Johnson, that that's taking place?
There is a little bit better story on the nuclear weapons side. There is support from the administration for modest increases, but I don't think it's enough. It's not going to get us to where we need to be over the long term.
This is the thing that worries me, is it's a problem that has been a long term in the making, and it's going to be a very, very long time before these fixes are made. If they are properly funded, we'll be watching that closely, as I know will you at the Heritage Foundation. Justin Johnson, thank you for your service on Capitol Hill and now at Heritage, and by joining us from time to time, your service to us as well. Keep it up, my friend. Come back to us again very soon. Next up, Gordon Chang joins us. We'll talk about some of those missile threats from communist China, North Korea, and more right after this.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.